Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. This is Gavin Ward, co-host of Pop Health Podcast. In today's episode, I was in Arizona, where I sat down with Dory Folk and Jason Steinhauer, two individuals that serve in Banner Health's Population Health Department. Banner Health is the largest private employer in the state of Arizona and serves hundreds of thousands of patients each and every year. In today's show, Dory and Jason share about their journey within the Banner Health system and how they've had the opportunity to, in a sense, help build the Banner Health Population Health Department. We hope you enjoyed today's show, and if you do, feel free to leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or now Spotify as well. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the show. Dory and Jason, one of the things we do to kick off each episode is get to learn a little bit about our guests, maybe something outside of the professional world. So we'll start with you, Dory. Tell the audience something about you that might surprise you, maybe something your fellow coworkers here at Banner may not know about you.
Well, in my 40s, I decided to take up running for exercise, and within 4 months, ran my first half marathon.
So tell me about...
From no running at all, ever running even a mile, and in 4 months... prepared to run and ran a half marathon, 13
awesome.
Miles, and I didn't stop the whole race.
Nice. So in a nutshell, what did you do on day one?
Tried to run to the end of my block.
Literally?
Literally.
Okay.
Literally left my house and ran down the street to the end of my block, and I made it huffing and puffing. The next day, I went just a little bit further, and every day, I just went a little bit further.
And did you have someone with you motivating
you,
coaching you?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend, yeah.
Nice.
That was a runner, but she only would run like little short couple miles here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. I see correlation a lot with like healthcare, self-care.
Yeah.
And in your sense, it was self-care, right?
Yeah, it totally was. I needed some stress reduction. You know, I was raising three boys. I needed an outlet. And that was just the easiest way to throw on sneakers and go outside.
Nice. And having someone right there with you, I'm sure
it helps.
Yeah,
it was great. Oh, yeah. It was wonderful. It was
nice.
Awesome. It was the best thing I've ever done. It taught me a lot about myself and about the power of mind over matter.
Very good. And are you still running today?
Yep. A little bit, not as much. I've had a back surgery since then, so yeah.
Okay. And how about you, Jason?
Not to brag or anything, but when I was younger, both played the saxophone and the drums.
Okay.
And in fifth grade, I won Band Student of the Year.
Oh.
And then played the Titanic theme song, My Heart Will Go On an alto saxophone. So I don't like to brag about my musical skill set, but... I don't really go around telling people that anymore.
No, that's great. So are you still able to play the sax today?
No. I quit playing the saxophone. Oh, my gosh. I think before even my teenage years. I played drums until I was, I think, 18 or 19, kind of gave that up, you know, when I hit college and everything. But a little bit of an amateur musician here, even
okay.
Less than an amateur, really.
All right. Cool. Very cool. Well, hopefully you can tell your grandkids that story about your fifth grade band accomplishments.
That was my peak.
Very good. So we'll jump in and learn a little bit about how you folks got into healthcare. And we'll start with you, Dory. Tell us about your background growing up, what you're thinking of doing, maybe where you went, if you went to college, where you went, and how you ended up in healthcare.
Well, growing up, I always knew I wanted to be a nurse. So I don't know, healthcare was just, it was just in my blood, I guess. Always. I always wanted to be a nurse. I always wanted to take care of people, you know. When I got old enough to work, I started in the dental field as a chairside assistant, and I did that for about 5-6 years or so.
Okay.
And in the 90s, I took a break from the workforce to raise my three boys, so kind of took a break. But when I came back to the workforce, I wanted to get into the hospital system, so I went to Del Webb. And that was, like I said, I took a long break, about 12 years actually, took off from work. And so.
Okay. And where is Del Webb here
Del
in the Phoenix
Webb,
marketplace for the audience that may not be familiar?
Sure. Del Webb is way out in the West Valley in Sun City West. It's one of our hospitals that's way out there.
Okay.
So I started there in the medical records department. And from there, I went up to the orthopedic unit and worked as a CNA on the unit for about a year. Realized nursing really wasn't my path, just due to a lot of reasons. So at that time, a case management position opened up within the hospital, and I was very intrigued by case management. I'd watched the case managers on the unit, and they had some assistants, and I thought, that looks interesting. So position opened up, and I applied and went into it, and got hired, and that's where I've been. Yeah, so that was in 2011. So I started there. I spent the last 8 years in various case management roles within Banner. From the hospital, I went to ambulatory case management, which was the first outpatient setting for case management that Banner had implemented in 2011, I believe that was.
Okay.
That's where kind of population health kind of was born from, was from the ambulatory. Okay, so spending the last 8 years in various case management roles here in the West Valley really prepared me for this role of being in the community, because I'm very familiar with the needs of the patients and our members in the West Valley, since that's really where I've spent the bulk of my time out here in the West Valley in case management.
Good. And then how about you, Jason?
It's kind of a long story, but I'll keep it short. My entire life, I had dreamed of being a sports writer.
Yeah.
So I went through high school, was on the school newspaper, wrote some feature stories. This was back in 05, 06, and the journalism industry was kind of shifting, transitioning from traditional print media to more, you know, electronic-based, digital-based. Right. And I was set up to go to Walter Cronkite at ASU, my dream school. And my dad, who's a nurse, he's like, you know what? Kind of feel like the industry is not very stable. Maybe consider something a little bit more secure like nursing. Science is not my strength. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't like it. I don't have an interest in it. So I listened, gave it a shot. I got my CNA, started going through my prereqs in college. Completely failed in every possible way.
Yep.
But I pushed through. 5 years later, got into nursing school somehow. Still to this day, I don't know how. And made it through my first year in nursing school. And I'll never forget, I was sitting on my couch studying for a midterm. And I had the MLS Cup on in the background.
Oh, wait. You're a soccer fan.
A little bit. Oh, a little bit. Nothing major. And it was actually one of the Galaxy's championship runs. See?
Okay, really quickly. I know this probably doesn't bring a lot of value to the audience. I'm an LA Galaxy season ticket holder. I love this story. Don't worry, folks. It'll be quick.
It will be quick. So I'm watching this, the MLS Cup, trying to study, you know, my nursing stuff. And I just had this epiphany, like, this is not for me. Because I'm thinking about how I would write a feature story, you know, with the Galaxy winning. It was when Beckham was there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what could I do to put this together? I'm like, this isn't for me. I cannot continue on in nursing school. So I quit over winter break and started from scratch because my GPA was so low with all my, you know, prereq failures. Got into journalism school at Ashford University, completed their online program, got my bachelor's, graduated top of my class. Then the problem was, because I had so much healthcare experience and no real, you know, blogging experience, anything to do with creative writing, it was hard for me to land a job. So stayed within healthcare, trying to find that, you know, first opportunity within communications and journalism. Didn't happen. And one day it just kind of dawned on me, I think I need to leverage my experience in healthcare with my passion for creativity and content. And when I realized that, all these opportunities presented themselves to find, you know, that healthcare communications role. So fast forward to last year, last spring, and I got this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to come back to Banner, where I'd been for 10 years, and build this position and this department from the ground up alongside Dory and some of our other coworkers. So
awesome. Well, great story. Now, you mentioned you had an opportunity to build up this department, population health department, and I'd like to ask more about that. But before we get there, some of the audience may not be from the Arizona marketplace here. They may be from California or other states here in the U.S. Can you share with us briefly about who Banner is, its departments, hospitals, and then I definitely want to hear more about how you, Jason, and Dory helped build this newer department, if you will, here at Banner.
Well, Banner Health is one of the largest nonprofit healthcare systems in the country, and it happens to be headquartered right here in Arizona. As a system, we operate 28, and I'm not sure that number may have changed, but we have at least 28 acute care hospitals. We have Banner Health Network. We have Banner University Medicine. We have academic and employed physician groups, long-term care centers, outpatient surgery centers. We have 40-plus urgent care centers and an array of other services, the home care and hospice services, as well as family pharmacies, nursing registry. We've got a lot going on.
Wow. It sounds like a whole lot. Have all the bases covered.
Yeah, we're also in 6 states.
Wow. So what other states besides Arizona where we're recording today?
We're in Arizona, as you said, California, Colorado, Nebraska, Nevada, and Wyoming.
Wow. I did not realize you were in all 6 states. I knew about Arizona and a couple of the others. So very cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about what Jason touched on earlier and this department that's
now known as Population Health. Joey and I were talking off mic. Joey's a colleague of mine who's here helping set up the podcast today. And we were talking about how not a lot of systems, especially many years ago, really had a population health department. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of the department and how you've built it and where you guys are today?
Well, like I stated before with my, on my journey in healthcare, we started as ambulatory case management as a pioneer program for the Medicare Pioneer. There was a Medicare Pioneer program, and that's actually how we started. We had embedded some of our care managers and support staff, which was me, into some of the clinics so that we were right there on site to help these physicians. There were some challenges in that department. So a year ago, they reorganized us, completely restructured to population health, and really shifted us from a program to a level of care.
Okay. And Jason, anything to add?
Yeah. Well, and then through that, when I came along in the spring of last year, this was a brand new role that Banner and really a lot of other organizations that never had the community resource specialist role. And some of the other roles within this department, like the health services navigator, things like that, they're rebranded roles, you know, kind of to support the RNs and the social workers. So our role specifically, we get out in the community, we find these high quality resources, we vet these organizations that we work with pretty frequently. And then for me personally, coming in here with the creative background that I have, the journalism degree, being able to now be the full-time editor for our regional newsletter and part-time contributor was a dream come true. Yeah. I remember to this day, early on, Dory told me, I think it was in my first or second week, she's like, oh, you know, we want to have a newsletter here. And like my eyes lit up. I'm like, this can't be real. Like I'm going to get an opportunity to manage a newsletter. So it's just been the perfect opportunity to blend my passion for still helping people in the healthcare industry, but in a non-clinical capacity, utilizing my creative skill set, my background, my education. So it's been unique as well to build a department and a job role from the ground up. So I always joke around with people that Dory and I and our two other counterparts are like the founding fathers of this role, that long after we're gone, what we've started here will be utilized by everybody else who comes and takes our place years down the line.
Yeah, definitely a unique opportunity and well said. I know what building something from scratch can be. Even this podcast, you know, 3 years ago was nothing, you know,
right.
Just a thought. So you mentioned community resource specialist and you folks help leverage outside community resources for the benefit of Banner members or Banner patients. Can you share with us a little bit about what those outside resources are like? Who are these types of organizations?
Well, not only are we meeting with the organizations in the community, but we're also educating our own stakeholders within our system of our existence, because a lot of our own hospital, or not hospital, but a lot of our own Banner entities aren't aware of population health. So out in the community, we're vetting resources that we know our patients are utilizing a lot. One of the first ones that we started to vet was the home care agencies, like 24-hour home care. We wanted to vet high quality home care agencies for our members. We previously had a list that was very, very long. We made it short and quality. There's many other members that many other agencies that can be utilized, but we tried to keep it short and concise for our members. So that's just one of the many things that we do. So home care agencies,
transportation is a big one.
Food
insecurities, low income, anything that members of the community are struggling to find services that they can't connect with. Our job is to connect those organizations to the patients, connect those patients to those resources, and also help our clinicians better understand what services are available so that our patients will stay in the community, be it at home, group home, assisted living, wherever they are at, they will have the resources they need to stay as healthy and as happy as possible.
Awesome. That's cool. I think you guys might be a little bit ahead of the curve. We are seeing more and more folks address social determinants of care, but they often don't have the staff like yourselves or willing to invest, but we're seeing more and more kind of follow your lead, if you will. So it's neat that Banner has folks like yourself to lead that charge. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe some successes that you've had in these initial year or so of the population health department?
Sure. Like I just said earlier, one of the big shifts in our department was the paradigm shift from a program to a level of care. In the prior role, a patient would come to us and the nurse would make an outreach and do an assessment, do some teach back over the phone, and then tell the patient, I'll follow up with you in a week or two. That was pretty much how it went. The paradigm shift in our new role in our new department was, instead of saying, I'm going to call you back in a week, it's like, we're going to check on you tomorrow and see how you're doing tomorrow. And like, we have one of our favorite stories, we'll call her Mrs. N. She had congestive heart failure. She had just come out of the hospital. Our nurse made outreach. She did an assessment over the phone. She thought the patient understood. The patient didn't really understand, because when they called the patient back, she was short of breath. She was clearly in distress, so, you know, 911 had to be utilized. The patient did have to go back to the hospital. She had put on a tremendous amount of weight. Not weight, but the water weight. You know, water retention. So she went in. When she came out, a whole completely different plan was put in place. Not only did they call the patient today and explain what she needed to do, but they really discussed where the decline was, or what she didn't understand. Well, she thought she understood she needed to weigh herself every day to make sure her weight stayed and to make sure the water wasn't building up in her system.
Right.
So the nurse called the patient, and as they made the plan that they put into place was that the patient was going to call the nurse every day for the first week to give her weight over the phone.
Okay.
To make sure she understood how important that was. If her weight went up even 1 pound, she was going to notice it, because she was actually stepping on the scale and weighing herself every day. But the main thing here is to understand that she didn't understand. She understood when her weight went up that it was an issue, but she clearly didn't understand what she needed to do.
Yeah.
Who to reach out to? What do I do in this situation? The situation just kind of got out of control. The paradigm shift, the nurse called her every day. The following week, the patient called her every day. In the end, the patient completely understood what she needed to do. She's completely self-managing, and it's been a complete year, an entire year. Actually, it's been over a year now since she's had a hospital visit.
April of 2017.
Ah, okay. So it sounds like this is one of those past high utilizers that the Population Health Department's a great fit for, if I'm
absolutely
getting that right.
Yes, yeah. Okay. She didn't understand her disease process. She didn't understand how to manage her disease. Okay. And we taught her how to manage it. We taught her who to reach out to, when to reach out.
So it's increased accountability, utilizing the teach back method, ensuring that the patient knows what they need to do. And also, if they don't understand, or if they encounter any kind of a crisis or setback, who to contact instead of waiting that week in the previous model. They know that they have the power now to reach out and say, I'm having an issue. I don't want to go to the ER. I don't want to utilize an urgent care. What can I do now before the issue escalates?
Okay. Awesome. So that's a good success story with folks that are under your care here at Banner. What about internally? I know a lot of the folks that listen might work for a healthcare organization, and their client or who they serve might also be internal partners or departments. You mentioned earlier, Dory, getting the word out. So has there been any successes or even challenges? I'm assuming there's been challenges because Banner is such a big organization, and you did touch on it. What about a success story where you've been able to get the word out in Banner? Because that's got to be a journey in and of itself.
When we started to realize that we were missing a very big and key component with talking to our own Banner stakeholders, we started connecting with some of the inpatient physical therapy staff, the care management staff, and one of the physical therapy departments that we spoke with at Banner Boswell out in Sun City. We educated them. We, you know, gave them our presentation about population health, what we can do, you know, the usual.
Yeah.
And afterward, I heard from some of the staff there that they were already referring patients to us.
Nice.
That they were capturing some of those orthopedic patients who had elective hip or knee replacement surgery that were going home postoperatively day one, day two, and maybe right on the cusp of being ready to go home. But, you know, with the way healthcare is now, they want them to go home, not stay in the hospital too many days,
yeah.
Increased risk of, you know, infection, things like that.
Yeah.
So the fact that they now have this layer of support, so to speak, with population health, they can say, okay, we can send this patient home and feel confident in knowing that the chances of them coming back to the hospital are very, very slim, because they will have that extra layer of support, those added resources, the clinicians on hand, ready Monday through Friday, and then the 24-hour nurse on call, where a triage nurse is available 24 hours a day to keep them from coming in and utilizing the ED or the urgent care unnecessarily.
Okay, awesome. So we've heard some neat stories. What about challenges that you face, whether with patients, just in general?
It's patient engagement. That's the hard part. And it's in a weird way comforting because our director went to a conference on the East Coast a few months ago where there were other care management departments similar to ours from different health systems around the country. And the universal challenge is increasing patient engagement. And at the end of the day, I think it just comes with repetition. We use a motto around here called 7 times, 7 ways. So you have to explain something 7 different times in 7 different forms of communication in order for it to really stick.
Yeah.
So it's just persistence, not giving up after 6 months or a year, not feeling defeated, knowing that this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're not going to change healthcare. You're not going to reach every single person within the first 6 months or a year. So being in this for the long haul, knowing that you will face some setbacks and some challenges, but being persistent and keeping your eyes on the prize at the end of the day.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing. So who are your patients in the population health department?
So as of right now, and with a little disclaimer that that can change year to year, as of right now, we serve the Medicare Advantage population. So it's our United Healthcare AARP Medicare Advantage.
Okay.
It's our Blue Cross Blue Shield Arizona Medicare Advantage and our MSSP, which is Medicare Shared Savings Program, which is our ACO's Medicare.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Jason. So can you tell us a little bit, either you, Jason, or you, Dory, about how technology is playing a role for the population health department?
Yeah, we've got some innovative things in the works. We're currently working on another form of communication for our patients to be able to connect to our clinicians, be it our social workers or our care managers or even our health services navigators, which is our support staff. It's going to be a patient portal where they can send messages directly to our staff, and within our EMR, our electronic medical record, they can receive those messages, see what the patient needs, and then contact them directly to address those concerns. So that's in the development stage right now, hoping to release that, you know, in the coming months. So that'll just be another way for patients to feel like they have access to the care that they need without having to jump through a million and one hoops to access even a care manager, which in the years past probably would have been a huge barrier for them.
Okay. And then do folks use that? Do they use a desktop computer or a laptop? Is there an app or how does that?
Right now it's going to be through the desktop. I believe it's going to be, you know, mobile app access in time, but then they can also have a proxy user, which will be a designated user that can access it for them if they're not, you know, technology proficient.
Savvy. Okay.
So we're trying to make accessing healthcare as easy as possible so that the patients and the families have what they need to be successful at home.
Very good. So this is a fun question that we're asking that might be out of left field. But speaking of technology, if you can only have one app on your phone, and this does not have to be healthcare related, this could be personal, what app would you need? Or in other words, if we removed one app from your smartphone, what would be like, oh no, don't take that one? And this could be anything. One person shared their email app. One person said Google Maps. Curious what you guys may think.
Google Maps for me, for sure.
Why is that?
Because I want to know the fastest, easiest way to get from point A to point B.
Okay.
And my Google Maps takes me around all kinds of nonsense.
And are you doing driving for work as well?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Being out in the community, Jason and I, we're all over the valley from the far east to the far west. So sometimes, you know, we're going to unfamiliar addresses.
Yeah.
So my Google Maps is my best friend. And when it doesn't work, I pull over to the side of the road until it does work.
Do you have one of those old school maps? I forget, Thomas Guide.
No, actually I don't. I depend too much heavily on my phone.
Nice. Jason, you can't use the same answer. So
no, I won't use the same answer, but I know I'll probably get some eye rolls for this, but I do have a very good reason why. So for me, it would be Facebook, but it's not because I go on there and post a lot or anything like that. For me, and I've noticed it more with my wife, it's a great way to kind of disconnect and unwind from like the hectic work day and things like that. You can kind of get lost in what's going on with your friends and family for 45 minutes to an hour and disconnect and decompress. My wife likes to say it's a way for her to decompress at the end of the day. And at first I rolled my eyes at her. I'm like, ah, whatever, you know what she's talking about. But then I have started to realize, wow, you know what? She's right. It's a great way to just tune the world out for a few minutes. So
nice. I'm not on Facebook, but I have another app that I'm familiar with how it can help you decompress. Very good. So this question I have listed here, how can the healthcare community and work alongside you, support you guys, be available to you?
That's a good question, but by identifying BHN patients that might be in their care.
Okay.
Such as like the vetting of the home care services. Once we educated them on who we are, what we do, it was amazing. We started seeing referrals coming in. Our patients were landing in their lab and they were like, wait, we just met Population Health, they could really help this patient. So we were able to get a lot of referrals through our home care agencies, just introducing ourselves and letting them know the layer of support that we could add to our patients.
Especially when they realize we're not going to step on the toes of the work that's already being done. We just want to act as another layer of support. So like Dory said, you know, let's say they're on service with another organization or type of resource. They finish up their time with that service, but the people that they finished with could still benefit. They still identify a need for these patients to have another, you know, a little bit of time for some support. That's where we can come in and say, hey, we're here. We can support these patients. They don't need to continue on with your service if you feel that they've met their goals. So then knowing that these community organizations understand BHN, Banner Health Network, Population Health, and how they can refer patients to us, that's the best way that they can, you know, quote unquote, partner with us.
Okay, awesome. And so I know that your department is relatively new. I think you mentioned a year or so. 5 years from now, where do you think you can be as a department in 5 years versus where you are today?
I get excited when I think about, you know, the future of this department. I think that the best outcome would be if we're able to break down the silos that exist, not just within our organization, but exist in the community, having everybody understand what population health management is, what care management is, and what we can do to support the great work that these different organizations do around the valley to help patients in the community. So I think if we can, you know, bring everybody together and work as a cohesive unit toward that goal of keeping patients out of the hospital unnecessarily, I think that's a win, not just for our department, but for healthcare in general.
Awesome. And hopefully people will be reading the newsletter.
That would be ideal, just even from a personal satisfaction, people are reading my stuff. But yes, that would be great too.
Nice. Very good. And is the newsletter available to the public or just folks within the Population Health Department?
I think it's just an internal newsletter. I think it just goes to our, you know, Banner Health stakeholders.
Cool. And then Dory, anything to add on the Population Health Department? Any changes to what Jason said or ideas of where it might be in 5 years?
No, I think he did a really good job. 5 years, I hope that the community is more aware of us and more aware of this, again, the services that we provide.
Well, very good. We've had Jason Steinhauer and Dory Folk as our guest today from Banner's Population Health Department. It's been a joy to have you both and get to know you a little bit over the past month or so. Look forward to interacting with you in the days, months, and years ahead. Folks, if you've liked today's show, feel free to check us out and other episodes at pophealthpodcast.com and on iTunes at pophealthpodcast.com. Feel free to leave us a review. You can always reach out to myself or co-host Zach by emailing info@pophealthpodcast.com. And lastly, we want to remind folks that we're celebrating our 3-year anniversary of the show, and we're getting closer to episode number 100. Thanks, everybody. Take care.